Hello and welcome to episode number 60 of the AFTV Newscast, being recorded October 21st, 2016. My name is Elia Saba and I run AFTVnews.com, and this is where I talk about the week's Fire TV news. And oh, what a week it's been. A lot of big news. Of course, Fire TV Stick just came out yesterday. Going to go over that in detail, what I've learned so far, what I know so far, my impressions of it so far. I've also got some first glimpses at the Fire TV's new interface. Got three different screenshots that we can go over. These are the cleanest shots we've seen so far of that new interface. Going to talk a little bit about the Fire TV 3 and what we kind of learned this week, if it's going to come this year, if it's not going to come this year. So I got a whole big, fun, long episode. So let's get right into it. So of course, the biggest news of the week is that the Fire TV Stick 2 has arrived. It arrived yesterday, October 20th. I've had about 24 hours with it so far. So this isn't going to be like a full-on review, but just kind of my first impressions. Let's show off the hardware real quick, since there isn't too much to look at, since it's very similar to the existing Fire TV Stick. So here it is on top, the new Fire TV Stick 2 compared to the Fire TV Stick 1 on the bottom. You can see definitely noticeably bigger than the previous generation device. Actually, Amazon's measurements on the site are actually misleading, because they measure the old stick from HDMI port to the end, whereas they measure the new one from just the black casing part. So it's actually bigger than the measurements imply it is, but about the same thickness, but definitely wider this way. And that's pretty much where it's probably going to affect people the most. If you're trying to plug it in behind a TV or a AV receiver or something, this increased thickness is just going to make it a little more difficult. That's why thankfully it does come with the little HDMI extender. It is a redesigned one slightly for this one, so that it matches the actual width of the new stick pretty much perfectly. Also included in the box, of course, is the USB power adapter. It's the exact same power adapter that came with the older voice bundled Fire TV Stick. So same 5 watts, 5 volts, 1 amp. So if you were powering your older Fire TV Stick from your TV's USB, you'll probably be able to power the new Fire TV Stick from the TV's USB, because it still draws no more than the 1 amp. Not all TV USB ports do provide 1 full amp of power, so definitely keep that in mind if you've never powered anything off of your TV's USB port. This adapter is not like the older first-gen adapter that is kind of a little bit more compact and has the little flip-up prongs. It's the fatter, newer one that Amazon has been shipping out with the Fire TV Stick voice bundle. And of course, lastly in the box is the long micro USB cable, and that's what you use to plug in the device, of course, and the voice remote. So the voice remote is identical to the voice remote that was shipping with the first generation Fire TV Stick voice bundle, and is also shipping with some Fire TV 2s. So if you recall, about a year ago when the Fire TV 2 first came out, I wrote an article saying how there are actually two different Wi-Fi based voice remotes, one that's a little bit slightly more premium and one that's, you know, a little bit cheaper for Amazon to manufacture. So the one that ships with the new Fire TV Stick 2 is the slightly cheaper one. So if you recall, the main difference between this remote and the slightly more premium voice remote that Amazon's shipping with the Fire TV 2 boxes is that the plastic is a soft touch on the premium one, whereas this one is just the hard solid plastic, and the buttons on this one are the rubbery buttons, whereas the premium one has the glossy hard plastic buttons. So functionality, they're exactly the same. Internals, they're exactly the same. They have the same FCC ID number, so there's no differences there. It's just the actual plastic casing is just slightly more premium on the other one. But at the price of $39.99 for the Fire TV Stick, we pretty much expected that they would ship the slightly less expensive voice remote that comes with it. But, you know, just as easy to use, just as stable pretty much as it's always been. So of course, there's Alexa voice on the remote, and you could do voice searches, you could talk to Alexa, you could do all of that fun stuff that you pretty much expect to do with Alexa. And you know, now the Fire TV Stick at $39.99 is the cheapest streaming device that comes with a voice remote, so they kind of took that claim. So let's talk about first impressions real quick. Pretty much my first impressions have been what I've been reading from other people, whereas it is noticeably faster than the first generation Fire TV Stick. It just feels snappier. It just feels like you're navigating through the menus, launching apps a little bit quicker here and there. And you know, of course you would expect that, because this is a quad core CPU, whereas this is a dual core CPU on the older one. So you definitely hope you notice a difference, but But yeah, I would definitely say that the new Fire TV Stick is closer to the Fire TV box than it is to the old Fire TV Stick. You know, if you can kind of get that sense. I still haven't had a chance to do a more in-depth comparison between the two, which I plan to do. I plan to put out some videos showing off the different capabilities between these two, between the new Fire TV Stick and the boxes, the first gen box and the second gen box. So I haven't had a chance to do all of that. Of course, it's only been 24 hours I've had this. So far, I've been just concentrating on what's new about the Fire TV Stick that's different from the old one. And so we'll definitely be talking about those, but you know, this won't be a full-on review of the device. That will come probably more so next week. So the Fire TV Stick 2 arrives with software version 5.2.2.0. This is a new software version that is only available on this Fire TV Stick right now. I assume some variant of this is going to start rolling out to the other Fire TV, the older Fire TV Stick and the Fire TV boxes at some point eventually. There's really nothing that new about the OS. I'll talk about the few things that I have found so far, but it's generally the same OS that you're used to on the Fire TV boxes and the first gen Fire TV Stick. This software version does not include the new Fire TV interface that I'll be talking about in a little bit. We've got some new clean shots of that new interface, so we'll be looking at those in more detail after I finish talking about the new Fire TV Stick. But yeah, it doesn't ship with the new interface, but that's supposed to come later this year. And it's supposed to arrive on this Fire TV Stick 2 first, then on the Fire TV 2, and then eventually that new interface is going to come to the Fire TV 1 and the Fire TV Stick 1. So again, like I said, the software version is 5.2.2.0. And then right off the bat, Amazon started pushing out yesterday, last night, a new software update for this Fire TV Stick. It's pretty much we expect it almost with all gadgets these days, where on launch day, you pretty much can expect an over-the-air update to be pushed out. You know, once these devices get in the hands of actual consumers and consumers get to start using them, new bugs are discovered, you know, immediately that weren't probably discovered while the company was actually testing the device internally with a smaller, you know, amount of testers. But the new software update is still labeled 5.2.2.0. It's the actual build number that varies just slightly. The previous one, I think, ends with a 120, whereas this one ends with a 620. Again, it's probably just bug fixes. I haven't noticed any difference between the first version that shipped with the device and the second software version that arrived last night. And so it's probably just back-end software fixes. All the APK files that are included, the system APK files, seem to be identical. So this software update seems to be more about the actual, like, core OS features, not the actual, like, you know, front end of the device. So yesterday morning, I put up a post asking people what kind of questions they had or what they wanted me to discuss about the Fire TV Stick 2 specifically. And so I've been going through those, you know, ever since I got it, I've been going through those questions, trying to figure them. And one of those things that was on that list and was already at the top of my list was to see if the new Fire TV Stick 2 supported OTG cables, USB OTG cables by chance. Mostly that was at the top of my list because when the Fire TV Stick 2's product page first went live, the comparison chart at the bottom of that page actually had, for the row that read Ethernet, it actually had it labeled as optional for the Fire TV Stick 2, whereas it was, you know, checked off for the Fire TV boxes. And so that was odd, but then I contacted Amazon's support and they told me that was a mistake, and so they updated it and they removed that. And so, you know, the official page says there's no Ethernet support, but to my surprise, OTG cables completely work on the new Fire TV Stick 2 without needing to have it rooted. So on the old Fire TV Stick 1, you had to actually have the device rooted so that you can get in and tick on one little option in a system file that would enable OTG cable support. And on the Fire TV Stick 2, that option is already ticked on by default in the stock OS. So that's a huge thing, and I'll talk about why that is right now. And so for those who don't know, OTG cables, they pretty much look like this. What they allow you to do is basically connect a full-size USB peripheral to something like the Fire TV Stick that gets power off of a micro USB port. So you plug this end into the actual Fire TV Stick power port. You plug the actual power cable into the other micro USB end of the OTG cable. And then you basically have a full-size USB port now that is connected and, you know, configured with the actual Fire TV Stick 2. And what that allows you to do is basically connect everything that you can connect onto a Fire TV box onto this Fire TV Stick 2. Now, of course, that includes USB keyboards, USB mice, and I plugged in the Logitech K400's little USB dongle. That worked right off the bat. There's no need to configure anything. There's nothing you have to do. It literally is just plug and play. Everything just works. You know, then I went and I actually plugged in a Ethernet adapter, you know, because of that product page that said Ethernet support was optional initially. And so I plugged in a USB to Ethernet adapter. These things are fairly inexpensive. And that, again, worked right off the bat. This is not as fully supported as I would have liked. So when you do connect this to the Fire TV Stick's OTG cable and connect an Ethernet cable to the Ethernet adapter, the Fire TV Stick's interface, if you go to the network settings, it does show that there's a wired connection and it immediately picks up an IP over the DHCP and assigns an IP and immediately connects over Ethernet. You know, the Ethernet overrides Wi-Fi settings, so you don't have to do anything there. But unfortunately, when you actually go into the actual wired network settings, where on the Fire TV, you would actually have the option to go in and configure a static IP or change your DNS settings or something like that. On the Fire TV Stick 2, when you go into the wired Ethernet connection, the screen is just blank. So if you're watching the video version here, you could see how, you know, when you actually open up that setting, it's just blank. So it's kind of bugged out. So definitely this Ethernet support was not, you know, meant to exist, not really meant to work. I do think that they meant to leave the OTG cable support turned on. But definitely it's possible that, you know, in a future software update, Amazon will turn that off. And that was a mistake that they left it turned on. We don't know yet for sure. But as of right now, completely works right off the bat. But definitely this wired Ethernet, ability, while it does work and while you can just plug everything in and everything just automatically configures itself and works over wired Ethernet, it, you know, you can't configure it the way you would want to. So it definitely seems like this is kind of an unsupported, you know, unofficial, you know, feature of the Fire TV Stick 2. So after trying USB keyboards, USB mice, and after trying the Ethernet, USB Ethernet adapter, I, of course, had to try a actual USB drive connected to it. And that was the biggest shock to me. It mounted right up immediately. You know, I got the standard Fire TV, you know, USB drive detected notice, and then the USB drive mounted notice. And that completely works. I was shocked, mostly because on the older first-gen Fire TV Stick, even with the OTG cable, even with the device rooted, when you connected an OTG cable and then connected external USB storage to it, it would not work. There is still one little thing that somebody has told me, where on the first generation Fire TV Stick, if it's rooted and you connect the USB drive to an OTG cable, that ES File Explorer can somehow read that, but it doesn't get mounted within the actual Fire TV OS. So I still haven't had a chance to look into that just yet. Again, I've been pretty busy with the new Fire TV Stick this week, But yeah, the new Fire TV Stick 2 with an OTG cable completely lets you plug in external storage. That external storage, while it's not available in the OS as, like, you know, it doesn't show it as storage there and it's not available to, say, move apps to it, you know, it's treated the same way it's treated like it is on the Fire TV Box 2, where USB storage is really meant only for media, and so third-party apps can access it, but, you know, the Fire TV OS really doesn't actually use the USB storage for anything. But third-party apps like Kodi, for example, completely let you get to that external storage. So if you wanted to load up a drive with a bunch of movies and take that and the Fire TV Stick and an OTG cable with you somewhere, you can totally access all of that content on the external drive through Kodi. So the actual external USB storage gets mounted in the Fire TV's OS under /storage/USB OTG. So it's just a directory there, and that's where you can access your files. And from Kodi, you can go right into videos and files, and then it immediately shows up. There's a folder there that's called USB OTG, and you can access all your files there. You can also access your files from ES File Explorer. I tested that. So pretty much any third-party app that can access USB storage will work with the Fire TV Stick 2 if you have an OTG cable. The last thing I'll say about the OTG support on the Fire TV Stick 2 is that USB hubs completely work. So I plugged in this very basic, USB 2.0 unpowered hub into the OTG cable. And as you can see from the picture here, I connected a flash drive, I connected the USB Ethernet port adapter, and I connected the little USB dongle for the K400 keyboard. All of it worked together right off the bat. Again, nothing to configure. So it really is an awesome option there for the Fire TV Stick 2 that, you know, we wished was available on the first gen Fire TV Stick. I'm really hoping that Amazon does not disable this. I fear that most likely they are going to disable this and it wasn't intended. Dave Zatz actually commented on this post. He's a buddy of mine who runs a blog, a tech blog also. He talks about streaming devices also. But he actually commented that, you know, possibly they've left this open for a future USB tuner to work, USB tuner support. So that's a possibility. We know Amazon has been playing with the idea of actually releasing an official USB tuner for the Fire TV, for the Fire TV Stick even. I was assumed it was going to be just for the Fire TV box because that already has a USB port, but it's possible here that they're going to actually maybe release a USB tuner that works with the Fire TV Stick as well. And that, so that would be really interesting. That would actually make sense as to why the OTG, you know, support works off the bat, because you would absolutely need that to connect something like a USB tuner to the Fire TV Stick. We've got a quick comment here on Twitter from Josh G. He asked, did you try a Flurk on the OTG? I did not, but I, you know, 99.9% sure that Flurk will work just fine with the Fire TV Stick 2, because Flurk basically gets detected as pretty much a keyboard. You know, there's nothing special about the Flurk. It doesn't need unique drivers. That's kind of the most impressive thing. For those wondering, the Flurk is that little IR to USB adapter that lets you basically add IR remote support to a device like the Fire TV box, and here like the Fire TV Stick 2, and that would allow you to control the Fire TV Stick 2 with your regular TV's IR remote. So you basically, you know, tell the Flurk, these buttons mean this, you know, translate these IR commands, these IR buttons, into the following, you know, USB keyboard commands. And so since the Flurk pretty much replicates a USB keyboard, I have, you know, zero doubt that the Fire TV Stick 2 will work with a Flurk. So lastly, before I move on, I'll put a link down in the description. It's also in this article, which I'll also link down in the description. But I'll put a link down in the description directly to the OTG cable that I use, because I'm not sure if, you know, all OTG cables are made the same and work the same. This one is a very basic older cell phone one. I think I got it for less than $2 on Amazon. And I'll also put a link to the USB to Ethernet adapter that I used. So the one I use is a Monoprice one. It's a basic USB 2.0 one made for ultrabooks. It specifically says low power. That's why I got it for testing with something like the Fire TV Stick. It's I think fairly inexpensive, around $15. I am mentioning that specifically because I did try the Fire TV Stick 2 with a different Hutu branded USB 3.0 Ethernet adapter that also has like a built-in USB hub in it. Now, that one is a lot more higher end, a lot more powerful, USB 3, you know, I think that one is gigabit, whereas this one is only, you know, 10/100. That Hutu one, the USB 3.0 one, the gigabit one, did not work with the Fire TV Stick 2. So I'll put a link down to this specific one. It's the only one that I know of that for sure will work. I also actually just put an order in for the Chromecast's little micro USB Ethernet adapter, just out of curiosity to see if it could power the Fire TV Stick and actually, you know, give you wired Ethernet, because then you wouldn't even need a USB OTG cable if that's your only purpose. So next week, hopefully that will arrive, and look for an article on that soon, hopefully. All right, moving on, probably the biggest question I'm asked, or I have been asked, and I'm being asked about the new Fire TV Stick 2, is whether you can sideload onto it, whether you can put Kodi onto it, whether there are any restrictions in that sense. But, you know, rest assured, everything works just as before. You can enable ADB. You can enable it in the same way. It's not in that hidden menu that I talked about last week. So you can turn on ADB. You can turn on apps from unknown sources. You could sideload onto it. Sideloaded apps appear on the home screen just as they do on all of the different Fire TV devices. So nothing has changed in that sense. Amazon has not tried to, you know, block anything in that sense. Kodi works just fine. So, you know, rest assured, everybody out there, that, you know, the Fire TV Stick 2 is basically, you know, as third-party app friendly as all of the other Fire TV devices have been. So for those of you watching live, this will be kind of a breaking news thing for you guys. But for those listening or watching the edited version after the fact, that this will probably already be up on my site by the time this podcast goes up. But literally, you know, minutes before I went live, and that's why I was kind of late going live for this episode, I discovered that on the new Fire TV Stick 2, Amazon has removed the Not In My House app that they released a few updates ago, that basically is intended to be used as an app blocking system. So if you recall from a few episodes back, I talked about this new app kind of called Not In My House, where the app is basically designed to be used by Amazon to block certain apps. And so on the Fire TV Stick 2, that app does not exist. It's not there. It's not in the OS. It was not added or removed or anything in the new update. So it just ships without the app, and, you know, the new update does not add it. So I'm still going to look into that further, just to see if that app got moved somewhere, if it got renamed or something. I haven't fully finished, you know, examining the actual OS of the new Fire TV Stick 2. But right now, first impression right off the bat is that Amazon has actually removed the app that they put in to actually block third-party apps on the Fire TV. So that's good news there for those of you who are Kodi fans and for sideloading fans. All right, moving on from that bit of great news to a bit of a bummer news here. One of the main differences, and really the only difference I could find in the actual OS of the new Fire TV Stick to any of the other Fire TV devices, Amazon has decided to remove the actual screen calibration adjustment setting option on the new Fire TV Stick 2. So if you go into the Fire TV Stick 2 settings and you go to display, there's still an option there that says calibrate display. But when you open the option, what you probably expect to see on the, you know, which is what you see on the older devices, is the option to press up and down, and it shrinks and expands the screen so that you can get it to fit perfectly on your TV. But now, instead of having those options to shrink and expand the screen, you actually just get a message that says to use your TV's built-in overscan and zoom settings to actually adjust, you know, the settings on the TV. You can't adjust them on the Fire TV Stick 2 anymore. You still have the arrows there, but again, they don't move or anything. They're just there to help you align and figure out, you know, how much overscan is happening on your TV. I know a lot of people have already complained to me, and I'm among the group of those complaining, because my TV, for example, does not have the option to modify the TV's overscan or modify the TV's zoom. It's just not there. You know, it just was not included in my TV. I know a lot of people have the same issue. So, you know, this removal of this option is going to really annoy a lot of people, I bet, because it's going to cause their TVs to basically crop out their Fire TV Stick 2s. And I actually fear that when this new 5.2.2.0 software update eventually probably starts rolling out to other devices like the Fire TV 2, the Fire TV 1, and the older Fire TV Stick, that this disabling of the calibration settings is going to actually roll out to those devices as well. I mean, I don't know for sure if this is going to be restricted only to the Fire TV Stick 2, but I would say there's a good chance that all Fire TV devices moving forward are probably going to lose that calibration setting. I did dig into the code of the settings app to locate that actual calibration code, and all of that code is actually still there, even on the Fire TV Stick 2, but there is a new instance, a new code on top of that, that basically just disables it. You know, it detects that when you launch that, and instead of launching the old code, which is still sitting there, it actually disables, you know, launches this new screen. And the new screen is literally called calibration disable. You know, it's not called like updated calibration, or it doesn't replace the old calibration. It's a new thing called disable calibration. So I don't know what Amazon's thinking. Maybe it has something to do with the new UI down the line. Somehow that UI is going to self-calibrate or something, or not have the overscan issue. So just a warning out there for those of you with TVs that don't have any option to change the zoom or change the overscan. If your Fire TV or Fire TV Stick actually does require you to shrink or expand the picture within the Fire TV settings, you're gonna have issues. All right, this just in, I'm from the future interrupting your regular podcast viewing. We've got a question here. I'm in the Q&A section, and John C. just posted in the comments here that Amazon has told him, or made two promises to him. He contacted Amazon's customer support about the actual loss of video calibration on the Fire TV, and he says they've made two promises to him. First, that Amazon is not going to remove the screen calibration feature from the software for the original Fire TV Stick and the Fire TV boxes. And second, that he said they'll also work to restore the screen calibration feature on the new Fire TV Stick 2. So great to hear, great news there. Amazon customer support isn't always completely accurate on what they say. Sometimes they just tell you what you want to hear. Hopefully that's not the case here, but I would expect that they got a lot of negative feedback from people who got the new Fire TV Stick 2 and were not able to calibrate on their TV, especially if they already owned a Fire TV box and were expecting to be able to do that. So great to see here. Thank you so much, John C., for chiming in and reporting back what you heard from Amazon customer support. So let's jump you right back into your regular podcast schedule. So that's it for my Fire TV Stick 2 overview for now. Of course, I'm planning to do some very in-depth comparisons between the Fire TV Stick 2 and the Fire TV Stick 1. I want to test Wi-Fi. I'm going to test performance. I'm going to test, you know, storage access rates. I'm going to test heat. I've got a whole bunch of tests that I want to run and I plan to run in the next week and the next few weeks. So look forward to those. This was just an overview, like I said earlier, but I'll have a lot more in-depth comparisons later. I'll also be testing the new Fire TV Stick 2 to the Fire TV Box 1, the Fire TV Box 2. So look forward to all of that later. But for now, let's move on to some non-Fire TV Stick news. Big news in the actual Fire TV 2 department is that Amazon has actually permanently reduced the retail price of all Fire TV 2 bundles. The Fire TV 2, the Fire TV 2 antenna bundle, and the Fire TV 2 gaming edition are all $10 cheaper now. This is not a sale. This is the actual retail price being reduced. So you can now buy permanently the Fire TV 2 for $89.99, the antenna bundle for $99.99, and the gaming edition for $129.99. This is actually the first time Amazon has ever reduced the retail price of any Fire TV device, and that's pretty significant. To me, that is pretty damning evidence that there will not be a new Fire TV 3 released this year. I think Amazon is lowering the price of the Fire TV 2 so that it competes a little better with the competition that has come out recently. You've got the Mi Box selling for $69. That's basically on par with the Fire TV 2. You've got the new Roku Premiere that's selling for $79. That is, you know, not completely on par, but pretty close to the Fire TV 2. You know, both of those are 4K devices, just like the Fire TV 2. So that's their biggest selling point. So, you know, that's the biggest competition, I think, to the Fire TV 2. So yeah, the fact that Amazon has reduced the price, has reduced the retail price, and the first time they've ever done this with any Fire TV device, you know, to me tells me they're basically just pricing it competitively so that going into this holiday season, you know, they have a chance of selling the Fire TV 2 and, you know, against the competition, like I just said, the Mi Box and the Roku. That's pretty much the biggest competition there. So when the Amazon Fire TV 1 first came out, I remember reading an interview with one of the VPs at Amazon saying that they expect the Fire TV devices to be kind of on a two-year cycle, 2 to 3 year cycle, meaning they expect people to keep them for 2 to 3 years, not necessarily that they're going to release new devices every 2 to 3 years. And so if they have that impression, it kind of goes along with the renewal cycles that we've seen. So the Fire TV 2 came out about a year and a half after the Fire TV 1. The Fire TV Stick 2 is coming out 2 years after the Fire TV Stick 1. So last year, the quote, new Fire TV Stick with voice remote was really just the older hardware with a new remote. So it wasn't a new device. So Fire TV Stick 2 came out 2 years after. The Fire TV 2 came out 1.5 years after. So I expect that probably a Fire TV 3 now, you know, judging by this price drop, we'll probably see it early next year would be my guess. You know, the Fire TV 1 came out in April of 2014, so maybe April 2017 is when we'll see a new Fire TV 3 come out. I doubt they're going to wait all the way until, you know, next year, basically next September, October, next holiday season to release a Fire TV 3. I don't think they would wait that long, just because by then the Fire TV 2 will probably be, you know, pretty old, pretty aging. We expect an NVIDIA Shield to come out likely before the holidays, because we already saw that FCC leak. The Roku Premiere, while it doesn't have HDR, the Roku Premiere Plus has HDR, so that's missing from the Fire TV 2. The Mi Box has HDR, you know. So there are definitely a lot of competing devices, so I don't expect, you know, the Fire TV 2 to last a full another year unless they really drop the price down, you know, sometime like, you know, mid next year or something. But again, if I were to guess, I would say Fire TV 3 probably around, you know, end of the first quarter, early second quarter of next year. Complete hunch, complete guess, but, you know, just judging by the previous update cycles, you know, that'd be my guess. All right, moving on. Next bit of news that came out this week is that we got our first clean, clear shot of the new Fire TV user interface. If you're watching the video version, definitely you can see it here. If you're not watching the video version, if you're just listening to the audio version, definitely check the show notes. I'll link directly to these images so you can see them full screen, you know, and get a good idea of what they are. So we have here what appears to be the Fire TV's home screen. At the very top, you've still got a banner that is kind of right now advertising an Amazon Echo in this screenshot. So, you know, that's unfortunately not going away, but, you know, just the way Amazon has been pushing advertisements on the Fire TV's home screen. But at the very top, you've got what is now the navigation menu. So instead of it being vertically, it is now horizontally across the top. The options on the navigation are search, home, your videos, movies, TV shows, apps, and settings. So missing is an option for games. So I assume games are now going bundled into the single apps section. Also missing are photos and music from the navigation. And so I suspect that just like with the music app that just came out, that Amazon is going to release a dedicated standalone photos app that you would just launch as opposed to an actual photos section on the Fire TV. So that's probably why it's missing there from the navigation. Then moving down below that horizontal navigation menu is a large banner. Basically, right now it's advertising the Bosch TV series. And so Amazon says they're going to display images and even videos in that banner area to highlight content both from Amazon and from third parties. So, you know, on the top of the Fire TV home screen, you're going to have a big banner ad essentially, but at least it's going to be for content that you might be interested in. Then below that banner is a recent section. And right now in this screenshot, we're only seeing actual TV shows and content in that recent section, not apps. So I'm not sure if apps will also appear in that recent section the way they do on the Fire TV's home screen right now. I would hope they do, but not positive, because right now it's basically just displaying five different TV shows in that recent section. And then below that is a My Apps and Games section. Those are horizontally scrolling areas, it looks like, you know, for those of you just listening to the audio version. But I assume the My Apps and Games bar that is just below the recent section on that home screen is going to be where you're going to be able to customize exactly which apps appear there. So Amazon has said in this new interface, in this new home screen, customers will be able to actually select which apps they want to appear there. It's not just going to be recent apps or basically what they suggest, you know, apps that you use. So right after this image came out, we got two more images of the Fire TV's new interface. The first one, again, I'll put a link down in the show notes for those of you listening to the audio version, but for those watching the video version can definitely see here that this is the TV episode screen. So basically, when you actually select the TV show and you're actually looking at the different episodes that are available. So you've got a big background image in the back kind of acting as a wallpaper. Overlaid on top of that is the actual show title, as well as the ratings of the show, the IMDb rating and the star rating, and then a little description of the TV show. And then below that, very similar to the existing Fire TV interface, is just a horizontally scrolling list of the episodes. And below that list of the episode screenshots, you've actually got the buttons for actually watching the show, more info, and bringing up all the different watch options. Then the last screenshot of the new interface we have is actually a bit of an odd one. So I actually read one article, I forget which publication actually wrote it, but they actually said that this interface is an updated version of the home screen. So the home screen we were just looking at and discussing might actually not be the home screen that's going to ship. They might have already replaced it with something else. I'm not completely positive, but I just read that, you know, a few minutes before I went live, actually. And so it actually makes a lot more sense now that I'm looking at it. But this new home screen actually does not have the banner at the top. It does say home in the top left corner. But when I first wrote this article, I actually assumed that that home was basically a button that would take you back home. But I guess it makes more sense now that it labels this as being the home screen, because you've got the home button on the remote. So there's really no reason to actually have a home button on the interface itself. But, you know, I think this is definitely a better home screen if it is, in fact, the home screen that's replacing that previous revised home screen. But at the top, taking up about a third, is a preview of what you're highlighting currently. So here they have the Man in the High Castle highlighted. So at the top, you've got an image of the show as well as the name and the ratings and a little description of the show. And that first horizontal bar that is being highlighted actually is labeled Next for You. So I assume this is a list of recommended shows that you could watch. And then below that is the My Apps and Games bar. And then I assume if this is the new home screen, I assume that is the place where you're going to be able to customize exactly which apps appear there. And then below that is a Prime More TV like Justified. So it looks like it is a recommendation. You know, somebody who is a Prime member who watched Justified would see a bar like this where it's recommending more shows that are, you know, related to the show Justified. So those are the three screenshots that we've got of this new interface. Again, it could be just two screenshots if in fact the new ones that were released after that initial one came out are actually updates and replacing the first one. But definitely check the show notes if you're not watching the video version and check them out for yourself. I think it's definitely a much cleaner, much more, sleek interface. So I'm looking forward to getting it on all my devices. Again, like I said earlier, it's going to come to the Fire TV Stick 2 first, then to the Fire TV 2, and then to the Fire TV 1 box and the Fire TV Stick 1 later. But all of them should get it updated sometime this year, Amazon says. All right, next up, before we get into some app and deal news, I did want to mention this new video that I actually put out on YouTube where it compares the actual Fire TV Stick 1, the Fire TV Box 1, and the Fire TV Box 2 together as far as H.264 versus H.265 encoding works. So the purpose of this video was to actually show that if you're actually playing the correct codec that the device itself supports, that the actual hardware decoder on the device really just handles the decoding of the video, and so all the devices are pretty much equal regardless of how strong their CPU is. You know, in the video, I compared different bit rate videos. So I compare a 40, 60, and 100 bit rate, you know, extreme case videos. I even compare H.265 videos on the older devices, the Fire TV 1 and the Fire TV Stick 1, even though those devices don't actually have a hardware decoder. I highly recommend checking it out. It took me a long time to edit the video just right. You know, I know I've been kind of teasing it on the podcast for a few months now. I finally got around to finding some time to actually finish it out. And I think it came out pretty nicely. Seems like you guys liked it just based on the actual like thumbs up on YouTube. So yeah, definitely check it out. Put a link down, of course, in the show notes. All right, moving on to some app and deal news. The biggest app that came out this week is the Jackbox Party Pack 3. It's a pack of five different, you know, party games for the Fire TV. There's the Jackbox Party Pack 1 and 2 that have come out. They've been pretty popular, and now their version 3 have come out. The really cool thing about these games is that you actually use tablets and smartphones to control the games and for players to actually, you know, interact and play with the game. So you don't actually need a whole bunch of Fire TV remotes or Fire TV game controllers or anything like that to play these games. So it's really good for parties and that sort of stuff. They're kind of more fun board game style games. So that's why they're kind of party games. So, you know, you're not necessarily going to just sit there and play these games by yourself or anything, even though I think one out of the five games that's included is actually capable of playing just one player. So even though they are party games, there is a one player game in there. But yeah, I'll put a link down in the show notes to this if you're interested in checking out the five different games that are included in there. Next up in deal news, the Minecraft Story Mode game, which is pretty popular on the Fire TV, has dropped down from $4.99 to free. And so basically this means that the first episode of the game is free. So the $4.99 price previously would have bought you just the first episode. This is an episodic game, which means they've released different episodes every few months that kind of continue the story and continue the game. And before, you had to buy each episode for either $4.99, or I think you could buy a season pass for I think $20 or $25, something like that. But now they've dropped the game down to free, which means you get the first episode for free, so you can try it out and then decide, you know, whether you want to actually pay any money to continue playing the game. But it's a very popular game. It's based on the popular Minecraft game, but this is not the actual, you know, regular Minecraft version. This is the Telltale episodic, you know, story version of the game. So it's very click-based. You know, you're not actually controlling your character directly. You're making just decisions in the game. So it's very easy to just, you know, pick up and play. It's only available on the Fire TV boxes, not on the Fire TV sticks, unfortunately. And you do need a game controller to play this game. So definitely check it out if you're interested. It's free for now. It'll probably be free for, you know, the foreseeable future. Usually when Telltale makes these games free and you get that first episode for free, they hardly ever revert that back and actually start charging for that first episode. So there's no real rush, but definitely check it out if you've been interested in this game. And the next bit of deal news I wanted to talk about is that if you're a Prime member, you can actually possibly get up to $60 in various Amazon credits completely for free just for trying Prime Photos. And by trying, I mean all you have to do is upload a single photo. And so the $60 credit comes in the form of three different codes, promo codes essentially, that give you a discount on different categories of products on Amazon. So it's a $20 discount on a $30 computer or tablets purchase, a $30 discount on a $40 camera purchase, and a $10 discount on a $20 software purchase. So those are the three codes you get. I'll put a link down in the show notes to this article, which gives you instructions on basically how you get these codes and when you'll get these codes. It's pretty straightforward. You just have to click a link, click a button on Amazon's promo page, upload a photo, and you're set. And I think November 3rd or something, early November, they'll be mailing out these codes. So if you're a Prime member, it's totally worth doing. One thing to keep in mind is that these promo codes are going to be good through December, which means they're going to be valid during Amazon's Black Friday sale this year. And so there's that $20 off a $30 tablet purchase code, which would be pretty good to use on something like the 7-inch Fire tablet, which we're expecting probably to go on sale for right around $30 to $35. And so getting $20 off of that tablet, you'll get that tablet for anywhere between 10 and 15 bucks if that's the case. And that's a pretty good deal on that tablet if you're interested. So if nothing else, get the codes just for the potential of possibly buying that tablet for a ridiculously low price. And so they put out this promo actually because they've put out a big update to Prime Photos in general. And so you can now actually share your unlimited Prime Photos storage with up to 5 different family members or friends. And so this is different than Amazon's household feature that lets you share your Prime membership. This actually allows you to just invite just, you know, 5 different people. They don't even have to have Prime. They don't even have to be in your household or anything like that. You just invite those people and they basically get the option now to upload unlimited amount of pictures to your Prime account. They can upload pictures and actually keep them private to themselves so they don't have to actually share everything with you. But there's a family vault option where when they do upload pictures, if they do want to share them with the 5 different people that are, you know, associated under this sharing, this vault system, they can actually, you know, select those photos to be shared and then everybody can see the shared photos. So really nice little feature for those of you who are Prime members, who have family members or friends who, you know, need a solution for, you know, unlimited photo storage without actually having to subscribe to anything or without having to pay for Prime themselves. The other thing that Amazon updated with this, the new big photo update, is that it now has a much more advanced searching feature within Amazon Photos. So if you do upload all your photos up to, you know, Amazon's cloud storage, if you're a Prime member, then you have that unlimited storage. You can now search for things by faces, by people, by places, and by things. So you can type something in like sunset and then it will actually identify the photos you have that were of a sunset. You could type something like beaches and or you know, you could type a location. It can identify where photos were taken and bring up, you know, if you went on some vacation to Paris or something and you took a bunch of pictures there and you want to see them but you haven't sorted them out yourself, you can actually just search for Paris and it should be able to find them that way. There's also automatic face detection now, so you can actually go to a faces section and it'll show all the different people that it has found in your photos. If you want, you could label those faces with names, and so then when you search for something like, you know, a name and then beach, you'll find that person at the beach and you'll find photos of that. So nice little feature that they've added there. All of this like algorithmic you know, detection is turned on by default, but you do have the option to turn it off if you'd like. It's just, you know, if you go into Prime Photos, go into settings, it's just a little toggle that you flip off. The main Prime Photos account holder is the one who has the option to turn on and off this like algorithmic detection in the family vault. So if you are like invited to join a family vault, you don't have that option to turn it off yourself. But it is there. It's pretty handy. Nice little improvement to Amazon Photos. Before we jump into the Q&A section, I do want to mention that the new Echo Dot 2 also got released this week, same day as the Fire TV Stick 2. I've got it right here. I literally haven't opened it yet, so that's why I'm not covering it in this episode. I'll definitely get a chance to look at it next week and see what's different, what's changed, if anything, from the first generation Echo Dot. So look forward to that in next week's episode. I'll definitely do a live comparison, you know, in the actual podcast of the new Echo Dot to the second or first gen Echo Dot. So look forward to that then, but just letting you guys know that, you know, I definitely picked one up and we'll look into that, see if there's anything different there, but just did not get a chance to do it this week just because of all the Fire TV Stick news that has come out. So moving on, as always, I put a post up on Thursdays asking people to submit questions for me to answer, or for me to try to answer here on the episode. Got a whole bunch of different questions, so we'll get right into things. First question is from Rex. He's asking, what are the best Amazon Prime videos for Halloween? That's actually a pretty tough question to answer just because there's so many different Halloween videos out there. So I'll just direct you to my What's New post from the first of this month. Amazon has put a whole bunch of different Prime videos, new Prime videos out this month that are Halloween themed. So I remember skimming through that list. I did definitely see a lot of horror movies, a lot of just Halloween related movies that were not available on Prime. So look at that list. I won't really recommend anything myself. All right, next set of questions here are from Master Blaster. He asks, what do you think of the new interface? Will it perform better with the new software? And will it allow customization? So I already talked about what I think of the new interface. I do like it just from the small impressions that we've gotten so far. So I won't go into that anymore. But as far as actual performance, I do think this new interface will perform a lot better on all of the Fire TV devices than the previous one. And that's mostly because it looks like Amazon is switching from a section-based interface to a dedicated app-based interface. So like we saw with the new Amazon Music app that got released a week ago or so, it looks like Amazon is switching from sections to apps. And so when you have standalone apps, they're not taking up memory when you're just scrolling through the interface anymore. So I've talked about this before, but when you're scrolling through the existing Fire TV interface, you're actually launching individual apps. So when you scroll down to the music section or the photo section or the app section of the existing interface, each one of those sections is a different app that you're launching. And so just to scroll from home down to settings, you're launching like five different apps, you know, in the background that all look like they're the same app. So it looks like with this new interface, you'll actually be able to get to different sections of the interface without having to, you know, for example, launch photos or launch music just to get into settings, you know. So that's why I think it's going to perform a lot better. You know, having a dedicated app, you know, going into your app section to get to your music and to get to photos, if that's what you want to do, just makes more sense than to actually have it all, you know, in the menu there when really in the back, they're all different apps. So yeah, I think actual performance will improve with this new interface compared to the existing one. You won't get that like blank screen waiting for it to load type of thing, you know. As far as customization, the only thing we know for sure is that the home screen will have at least one strip where you'll be able to select exactly which apps you want to appear there on your home screen. And so that's the only customization we know of so far. But, you know, that's just one hint that Amazon is listening to people and moving in the right direction of letting us customize the interface. So hopefully there'll be other small, you know, introductions of customization in other areas of the new interface. But we don't know for sure yet. All right, next question here is from Mo. He says he liked my guide on how to install the Google Play Music Store on the Fire TV, and he's wondering if you can actually do something like the reverse of that, which is install Amazon Fire TV apps onto Android TV devices like the Nexus Player, which is what he has. You definitely can do that. I have a guide I'll link down below on how to actually pull APKs off of Fire TVs, and then you could take those and install them pretty much wherever you want. But it's kind of hit or miss whether those APKs are going to work on something other than the Fire TV, because obviously they weren't designed for those other devices like the Android TV devices. Mo says he tried the Funimation app that he took from the Fire TV onto his Nexus Player, but that didn't work because he had to like sign in with an Amazon account, which he couldn't do on that device. But he says the Twitter app from the Fire TV did work on his Android TV device. So I definitely plan to look into this a bit more. I did pick up, like I said last week, that the Mi Box, Android TV box. And so I'll definitely be looking into that and how that fits in to like a home that already has a Fire TV, for example, if you know wanted to pick that up for a different TV and keep your Fire TV and kind of share apps among them. I do plan to post some guides on the Mi Box specifically, like how to sideload onto it. And so I'll definitely be looking at how to actually sideload apps from the Fire TV onto that device. So yeah, that's definitely down the line something I plan to be posting. Our next question from Jay is, seeing how Amazon has now embraced low price Fire tablets, I'm wondering if they will continue to promote the new Fire TV stick as their main streaming device and never release a higher priced Fire TV box with better specs. What is your opinion? This is a very good question. I've kind of briefly addressed this back when I wrote that kind of what to expect out of a Fire TV 3 and Fire TV Stick 2 post that I wrote. I'll link that down below if you missed that article. But basically in that article, I said how Amazon has definitely found a niche in very inexpensive, but, you know, just good enough hardware. You know, like Jay is saying, their Fire tablet has been very successful. It's $50, but it does the basics very well, and that's consume media, for example. Their new Fire HD 8 tablet that came out this year is priced at $90, whereas the old one was priced at $150, I think it was. And so they've dropped some of the specs on that tablet because they basically optimized it for media consumption as opposed to just trying to be a general good at everything tablet, like something like the iPad or like the Samsung Galaxy tablets are doing. And so, yeah, I do think that the Fire TV Stick will kind of start to be the focus of Amazon's Fire TV lineup Based on what Amazon has said so far about sales, it definitely looks like the Fire TV Stick outsells the Fire TV Box, you know, to a large extent. When Amazon is putting the Fire TV Stick on sale for like $24 or $24.99 during their Prime Day sales and Black Friday sales, you know, that's a pretty easy grab. You know, even the Fire TV Box, I think it was $69.99. That's still, you know, a good commitment there. It's not like an impulse buy territory for the box. So I definitely think they're selling a lot more sticks. And for general people, most people, you know, who are just basically using the sticks to stream, you know, 1080p media from various sources like Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and PlayStation View and Sling and, you know, all those big names, HBO, the Fire TV Stick is definitely, you know, powerful enough, capable enough for the majority of people's, you know, TV, internet streaming video needs. And now that it has been increased in performance significantly and potentially has OTG, you know, external storage, external peripheral, Ethernet support, I mean, definitely more so than ever, the Fire TV Stick could be a replacement to a Fire TV Box. I still don't know for sure how it, you know, stacks up performance-wise and if you're really going to notice a difference switching from a Fire TV Box to a Fire TV Stick, for example. But as far as Amazon actually not making a Fire TV Box anymore, I actually don't think that's the case. I definitely think there's room for two devices and even more so. I mean, you look at Amazon's tablet lineup. They've got right now at least three flagship tablets, you know, the Fire, regular Fire tablet, the HD8, and then the HD10. And then I think they're still selling the HD6. And there's a new rumored, I think, Alexa-oriented tablet that might be coming out next year, early next year, something like that. So, and then you look at Amazon's lineup of Kindles, for example. They've got all types of Kindles. I think four main Kindles there. Regular Kindle, the Kindle Voyage, Kindle Paperwhite, and the Kindle Oasis. So you've got, you know, ranging from $50 all the way up to, what is it, $250 or $300? I forget. So while Amazon definitely does seem to try to favor the less expensive devices, and with each generation, they seem to, you know, reduce the price more so than just, you know, maxing out the specs every single time, I don't think they're going to, you know, knock out the Fire TV Box and just stick to a single Fire TV Stick. I mean, unless they release like a Fire TV Stick Pro or something that's capable of like 4K and HDR or something like that, you know, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think there's definitely room for two devices. I think it makes more sense to have at least two devices, you know, a higher tier pro device for those of you who are, you know, more into the gaming, more into that aspect, and then a just more less expensive basic device for those of you who just want to basically plug something in quickly and, you know, stream some 1080p content. All right, next question here from Wonko the Sane. He liked my video comparing the H.264 and the H.265 performance on the three Fire TV devices. He asked, if Amazon switches to H.265 exclusively, then won't people's older devices become useless? Or do you think Amazon will continue to stream H.264 to devices that can only process that? Absolutely, I do not think Amazon will drop H.264 in favor of only streaming H.265. Definitely will not happen. There are a lot. The vast majority of streaming devices can only stream H.264, do not have H.265 hardware decoders. So the H.265 is the future, you know, all newer devices, I mean, including the Fire TV Stick 2 is capable of H.265 hardware decoding. And so that's definitely the future. And I expect every single streaming device coming out from this point on to have H.265 support. But there's really no reason for Amazon to stop H.264 streaming, you know, to older devices. You know, you've got the vast majority of smart TVs, and people keep those TVs for a long time, are only H.264 capable devices. Those, you know, the older 1080p TVs that are not 4K, those all only have H.264 hardware decoders built in. So, you know, I would even expect that Amazon probably still has the ability to stream really old H.263, you know, DivX type encoded streams if something connects, you know, if something really old connects. But yeah, there's no fear there that your Fire TV 1 or your Fire TV Stick 1 is going to perform badly or not work at all because Amazon switches to H.265 exclusively. For those wondering who may have not seen the video, the advantage of H.265 over H.264 for Amazon specifically and why they might even remotely consider switching to that is that H.265 can produce a smaller file size with the same quality of a larger H.264 video. And so a 1080p video, for example, that looks exactly the same as far as, you know, you can tell quality-wise, would consume a lot less bandwidth streamed in H.265 versus H.264. And so that is something Amazon would want because they pay a lot of bandwidth fees. And so if they can reduce that by switching, they definitely want to. And that's why the Fire TV Stick 2 has an H.265 hardware decoder built in, even though it's just a 1080p device. You know, H.265 is pretty much nowadays required for 4K streaming because those files are so large, so massive that they need to optimize those, because otherwise people would need really, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 megabit per second internet, you know, capabilities to stream 4K in H.264 encoded files. And so, but, you know, Amazon built in that H.265 decoder into this because it's advantageous to them, you know, and it saves them money to stream in H.265 as opposed to H.264. But absolutely, there will not be a drop of H.264 streams anytime soon. You know, I would say at least 5 years, I would think, at least 5 years before that even becomes remotely a consideration. All right, next question is from Newly Rooted. He's asking about the HD Home Run app and why it's been pulled by Amazon from the Fire TV App Store. It actually has not been pulled by Amazon. I'm pretty sure it was pulled by HD Home Run themselves. Silicone Dust, I think, is the name of the company. I think they're developing a new app, a completely new app, revamped app for the Fire TV. I think I read that it's like in beta right now. I'm not sure if it's a public beta or a private beta. I don't personally have an HD Home Run, so this isn't something I keep track of very frequently, but I have heard that they pulled this app, and I think they're creating a new app. So hopefully soon we'll see a new HD Home Run app release that's better than the previous one. Our next question here is from John C. He says, you mentioned a couple episodes back about the benefits of Amazon's unlimited cloud storage under their paid plan. But as far as I know, one serious disadvantage to that plan is they won't allow you to store for streaming any video longer than 20 minutes. Store or download a large video file, yes, but stream a large video file, no. Am I missing something? I'm pretty sure what John C. is referring to is the Plex Cloud feature that I talked about, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes ago, where you can actually link up your Plex account to your Amazon Cloud account and store all of your media files in Amazon's cloud storage and stream them down through Plex Cloud. And so, yes, John C. is absolutely right that Amazon does not allow streaming of video files larger or longer than 20 minutes. But Plex and Amazon have worked together on Plex Cloud to actually allow streaming that's longer than 20 minutes, but only through Plex Cloud. I spoke to Plex's PR reps specifically about this, and they told me that it's Amazon's cloud servers that handle the actual transcoding of any video file that's less than 20 minutes. But any video file that you've uploaded to Amazon's cloud that you're streaming through the Plex Cloud server system, any video file that's over 20 minutes, Plex themselves actually handles the transcoding. And so that's how they kind of get around that 20-minute limit that Amazon kind of imposes on their regular, you know, cloud storage. So yeah, it'll definitely work, but only through Plex Cloud. So there's no way to actually stream anything from Amazon's cloud drive longer than 20 minutes unless you're doing it through Plex itself. All right, that will conclude the 60th episode of the AFTV Newscast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for watching. If you are watching on YouTube, please hit that like button down below and subscribe to my YouTube channel. I do plan to hopefully put out new videos comparing the Fire TV Stick 2 with all of the other Fire TV devices. So look forward to that soon. If you're just watching or listening on the audio version, thank you also. You can subscribe through those different audio podcast apps. So definitely do a search for AFTV News or AFTV Newscast. You can find me there. Again, I stream every Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific. I stream live, that is. So I welcome everybody to watch live if you can. Really fun to go back and forth on Twitter with you guys. There were some issues on Twitter this week. I guess there's some attack going on Twitter, some DDoS attack or something. But still had some good feedback, some good questions come in via Twitter. So really love when people can watch live. Always just makes the recording experience a lot funner on my side. So I appreciate that. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I hope you enjoyed the little overview of the Fire TV Stick 2. Definitely tune in next week where I'll be talking more in depth about my thoughts of the Fire TV Stick 2 and what I think, how I think it stands up against the older device and the Fire TV boxes. And of course, I'll be talking about the new Amazon Echo Dot 2 and comparing that to the Echo Dot. Slot 1. So definitely next week's episode will be as packed as this week. So definitely tune in there. But thank you so much for watching this week, and I hope to catch you next week. A little description of the actual, you know, let's try that again. All right, that will conclude the 60th. Okay, good enough. Why do I feel crooked? Before we jump into the coup. Oh, what a day. Breathe. Calm.